Good morning. Before we get into the lesson this morning, Brother Ben, would you lead us this morning? Well, Brother Ralph's not here this morning, so I can tell this little tale on him, I guess. Last Sunday during communion, my fault because I should have checked with Brother Ralph to see what scripture he was going to use. Because every word of scripture that he used, I'd picked out. So we matched completely. So I'm sitting there sweating bullets. Well, Sunday morning, I had gone through my Bible and just looking up key words such as wine and things to do with communion and go into those and just reading them. And I came across the third proverb, if you remember, and it touched my heart. So I marked it in my Bible, and I thought, well, you know, I'm going to share that. Then when I got home Sunday afternoon, the phone rang. It was Brother Donnie. Continue to remember his family in your prayers. And Donnie asked me if I could switch with him because he had a lot going on. So I said, sure. I opened up my Sunday school book, started reading. I had no idea. No idea whatsoever. It's the exact same scripture that I shared last week during communion. The Lord just continues to blow my mind sometimes. This may very well be the shortest Sunday school lesson you've ever heard because it's about wisdom. And I was joking with David Blackburn yesterday, and I said, well, I was reminded of you this morning. I was looking over my lesson that I'm supposed to try to teach Sunday, and it deals with wisdom. And he laughed, and he said, boy, that's going to be a short service, isn't it? And then, in his way, he paid me a compliment by saying that some of the roads that I'd been down, some of the things that I had to bear in my life, that he felt that I had gained some wisdom. So I hope I have. You know, I spent a lot of time this week after communion and during communion analyzing myself, looking at myself. And as I told you last week, some of the stuff I see about me, I don't like. I did a lot of analyzing this week, and I've come to one conclusion. And that is, both physically and spiritually speaking, sometimes, most of the time, I'm dumber than a bag of bricks. But I think you have to get to that level. You have to realize what you don't know before you can realize what you can know. In our lesson today there on the first look, I probably won't be before you very long this morning. Says the real key to finding wisdom in life is found in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, or chapter 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. In these verses, we have a choice set before us. We could either trust in our own ability and understanding, or we can trust in the Lord. And this speaks to me because I find myself so many times doing this. If we mix the two, we'll fail to gain wisdom. This is why we are admonished to acknowledge God in all our decisions. When we do, we can be assured of divine guidance in all of the circumstances of our lives. You know, God is interested in every aspect of our lives. Even the simple, silly stuff. I fail to ask him a whole lot about some of the, well, I've got to be honest, I fail to ask him about some of the huge, big things too. But especially the small things. But he cares. And he can help us not make great big mistakes in our lives. This lesson this week brought back a lot of memories from my childhood. and I'm sure it will you too, may have been your mother, your father, your grandfather, your grandmother, maybe someone in your church. But you know, I'm thankful for those that were there to give me their words of wisdom. I've told you many times as a teenager growing up that I was such a rebel. Nobody could tell me anything. I already knew it all. I could have saved myself a whole lot of trouble if I'd just listened. Verse 1 and 2 in our lesson says, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Points out in our lesson there, it says in these verses we're given a list of three instructive commands. We're also presented with three blessings that flow from keeping these instructions. These things are given from a father to his son. And as I said a moment ago, sadly, the young often ignore or neglect the wisdom of their elders. We would avoid many heartaches if we would accept the wisdom of those who have already been where we are going. Remember the laws of God and keep his commandments in our hearts. Of course, we have to know these things before we can remember and keep them. Are we telling our children? Are we telling our grandchildren? I'm afraid that many of us are failing in letting them know what the Lord says, what his word says. Then on the next page it says, the benefits of this behavior are a long life and peace. Worry and anxiety can shorten our physical lives. That's no secret. I think the greatest thing that's killing people right now is anxiety. More people have anxiety attacks than ever before. A bitter spirit can have physical consequences. Knowing and keeping the commandments of God will not necessarily bring us a trouble-free life, but we will know how to handle our troubles, and we'll be at peace in our hearts, knowing that we have done everything our Heavenly Father requires of us. So let's look at this logically. A person that's wise does what? He eats good food, or she eats good food. We get plenty of rest. We get exercise. We don't abuse alcohol. We don't abuse drugs. We take care of our bodies. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You know, but there's something. Now, this isn't a guarantee. A lot of folks may want to read this and say, well, if I follow God's commandments, then I'm going to live forever. It's not a guarantee. It's a good rule, generally speaking. But you know, also in this verse, there's something else that's mentioned. In health or sickness or whatever comes our way, it's something that money, all the money in this world, can never buy. And that's peace. It says long life and peace. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I could speak all morning about this peace. I know about this peace that passeth all understanding. And I keep kicking myself because this same peace is available to us not only in our darkest hour. It's available every day of our lives. But see, sometimes Mike doesn't leave room for God in his life to give him that peace. It's not God's fault, it's Mike's fault. Then verses 3 through 6 says, "Let not mercy and truth forsake thee, bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." Our book tells us the second admonition is that we should treat mercy and truth as precious things. That should be with us always. We should wear them as we would wear a necklace. We should write them in our hearts so that they are part of every decision we make. Mercy and truth require a balance, and we learn that balance from God's Word. In Ephesians 4:15, we're admonished to speak the truth in love. This is the proper balance. We should tell the truth, but we should do it in love for those who hear us. This is achieved by following the teachings of Jesus and treating others as we would want to be treated. You know, sometimes it's hard to tell the truth. Sometimes people ask me questions, and I'll be honest, many times I just tell them what they want to hear. We live in a politically correct society. We don't want to offend anyone, but the truth can be told in a manner not to hurt someone, but we need to be truthful. What are people trusting these days? Some might say, "I trust the government." I couldn't imagine why. If you've turned on your TV or listened to the radio in the last few weeks or months, I couldn't imagine why anyone would trust the government, but I'm not going there. Many trust luck. Many trust fate. Many have got their trust, I'm sure, in their money, their bank accounts. Maybe it's your family, your spouse. Maybe it's the pastor. Well, Brother Larry, I'm sorry, but all of these things sometime will fail. That's not where we can place our faith. God will never fail. Solomon is saying here, trust in the Lord and acknowledge him in all thy ways. Be ever mindful of God. You know, many times if you see me going down the highway, you might see me talking. I'm sure I get some strange looks now and then. As I go down the road talking 90 miles an hour sometimes, I'm talking to the Lord. We should always be mindful of God. Not just here on Sunday morning. Not just at home. At work, home. 24/7. 7 days a week, God wants it all. He wants our entire heart. Solomon is saying, be ever mindful of God and serve him with a willing and faithful heart. You know, we may think that we know a lot, but you know, God knows everything. God doesn't quite think the way we think. In Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9, God's word says, "For thy thoughts are not thy thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. But as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." We're talking about God. He created this universe. He created you and me. And he wants a personal relationship with me, with you, every single day. And yet, in my obnoxious behavior, sometimes I can think that I know as much or more than he does. How ludicrous is that? He created it all. He created me. One moment, brother. You know, God, he knows the past. He knows everything about the present. He knows everything about the future. As I was trying to study this last evening, the words of Billy Graham came ringing in my ears. One of my favorite quotes of all time from Billy Graham. Billy Graham says, "I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future." Okay, in our book there at the bottom of the page, page 13, says, it is comforting and life-changing to realize that God is always acting in your best interest. Everything that God sends our way may not be pleasant for us, but it will yield the peaceable fruit of righteousness as we follow where God leads. There's great comfort in that simple truth, that we are the workmanship of God, and God has foreordained that we should live a life filled with good works. Now we'll get on to verse 7. I want to read verse 7, 8, 9, and 10 this morning. Solomon says, "Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil." And then he goes on to say something that just a little bit strange. "It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine." Book says, the list continues in these verses. We are to avoid self-praise. We can decide in our own arrogance that we know more than anyone else. When we do, we become self-made fools. Instead of this, we should fear or respect the Lord and depart from all evil. There's a key thought here, and this struck me. It really did. And it gets to what I was saying a moment ago. In my arrogance, I can dream and think that I know more than God, or as much as God, that I can make my own decisions, that I don't need his guidance. There is a key thought here. The reason we want to profess ourselves to be wise is so that we can engage in some evil behavior. Accepting the wisdom of God means that we must also behave as God's word teaches. Again, note that our physical health is affected by our spiritual attitude. If we fear the Lord and depart from evil, it's good for our body. Strange word here. Navel. Belly button. Everybody have one? Well, if you didn't, you're hatched. You were hatched if you don't have one. Everybody's got a navel, a belly button. You know, and I got to thinking about that. Childbirth. It's a wonderful thing. Ladies make a lot out of it sometimes. I've been through it twice. In all seriousness, I was very blessed with both my children to be able to witness birth. In fact, Landon, I don't know why we even paid the doctor. He stood behind me. But what a blessing it was. But why is the navel there? It's because of the umbilical cord that was attached from the mother to the fetus, to the baby. Through that umbilical cord, the fetus receives all the nourishment while it's inside its mother. Without the umbilical cord, there's no life, there's no growth. God's children need nourishment that comes from God. And that nourishment comes from trusting in the Lord and His eternal word. Then it goes on to say, health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. The marrow of her bones, it's the inside of her bones. And I didn't have to look this up. I already knew all this about bone marrow. No, I didn't. Marrow produces new blood cells. It's a big part of our immune system, removes waste from our body, delivers nutrients to all the different cells. It's essential for the well-being of the body. And also, without this bone marrow, our bones become weak and brittle. They tend to break. God's children not only need nourishment that comes from God, but we also need strength and stability that comes from God. Then it goes on to say that talks about giving here. Next are the rules that deal with giving. And I like what our book says. If it says, if we seek to honor God, one of the ways we will do this is with our physical substance. We will give to God. The Israelites were to bring God the first fruits. God was to be considered first, and He was to be given the best. Oh, how true this is. Often we reverse this. We give God the leftovers, if there are any. And forgiving, and our giving is the last thing on our list, not the first. The blessings here are full barns and bursting wine presses. God is able and willing to reward us when we serve Him. But why should He reward anyone for ignoring Him or showing Him disrespect? You know, we'll be blessed. Do what God wants you to do. Try it. Do what He wants you to do. I promise you, you will be blessed. It may not be exactly the way that you think that you'll be blessed. It may not be money in your pocket. It may not be wealth. It may not be fame. But God will richly bless you beyond measure. We must be careful not to equate physical prosperity with spiritual blessings. We can be assured that God loves those who honor Him. He will adequately reward those who dedicate their lives to His service. Does anybody have anything before I go on this morning? Verses 11 and 12 says, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of His correction. For whom the Lord loveth, He correcteth, even as a father the son in whom He delighteth. Anybody here ever get a spanking? Did you deserve it? Did it do any good? I hope so. Always as a child, I had to go get my own hickory. That was something that my dad believed in. One time I came back with a little twig about that long. Boy, did I catch it. But you know, I remember one thing at my dad. I'm not sure if Mom ever spanked me or not, but I know Dad did. But he always told me, he said, son, this hurts me more than it does you. As I became a father, I understood what that was all about. I think it's the same way with God. When I turn my back on Him, when I'm not doing what He wants me to do, it hurts God. My parents love me. I'm still blessed to have both my parents. They love me. But how much more does God love me? He gave His only begotten Son to save a wretch like me. How many times have I hurt God? I told you before I started, this being on wisdom, it would probably be short, so I'm going to finish up here with the last section, if nobody's got anything this morning. Okay, go right ahead, brother. Solomon had wisdom. He was exceedingly rich. But Solomon realized that that's not what made life worthwhile. Yes. Was that the buzzer? Well, very quickly, this poem, Solomon gives his son a poem praising wisdom. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, for all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days in her is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are always are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is every one that retaineth her. You want to see happiness? Brother Larry, you've been at the bedside of someone that's getting ready to cross over. What a blessing it is when they can say, I'm going home. That's that peace that money can never buy. Maybe I'm wiser than I thought I was. I don't know. I hope you got something out of it, and I appreciate your comments and your time. Thank you, and God bless you.